From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming.
With tonight's guest, wellness expert Sebastian Gendry.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And comedic guest, Mike Marino. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, it must be true that what you focus on expands. I've heard that a lot, and I don't know if I've always agreed, but it's interesting that as I've been thinking about our guest today, Sebastian Gendry, and how he's going to be talking to us about laughter and about happiness and all that, I've been thinking for the past couple days on how happy my childhood was. And I've never thought about how happy my childhood was. I never thought of my childhood as happy. As a matter of fact, if I go there, forget about it. I could, the whole show could be how horrible my childhood was. There are many reasons that my childhood was absolutely positively horrible. However, the fact that I've been focusing on laughter and I've been focusing on happiness and what our guest is going to be talking about today, I've been remembering certain things. And one of those things is that one of my brothers, and later on when my younger brother started getting older, him as well, but one of them in particular kept trying to make me laugh, especially at night when we were in our room in bed trying to fall asleep. He would make me laugh. And it was the most special moment of my life. And up until this very moment, as I'm thinking about this, I've also thought how I attract very depressed people in my life as an adult. However, some of these people have been so hysterically funny that they have me laughing, and they have reasons of, I don't know what their reason is actually for wanting to make me laugh. Maybe I'm a good laugher. Maybe I've got, you know, written on my forehead, make me laugh. Go ahead. I don't know what it is, but people have made me laugh. And so as I'm focusing on this, I'm thinking of laughter in my childhood. I'm thinking of laughter in my adulthood. And I know there's so much more than just thinking of it and smiling as I'm smiling right now, thinking about it. And actually, for that matter, Mike Marino is our comedic guest today, and he's always made me laugh, and especially him with his Italian background and my Italian background. He just digged right into things that just make me laugh. But I'm not the only one. He's got hundreds and thousands of fans, and we'll be talking to him a little later. So all of this, it's really interesting. Maybe what we focus on expands, and maybe this is actually the whole thing of what we're going to be talking to our guest Sebastian Gendry about right after this here on the Life Changers Show.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, you are one of these people that gets me laughing every once in a while.
Are you also saying that I was one of those depressed people?
I didn't say that. I did not say that. But I'm going to focus on what I want to expand. So okay. You make me laugh, and then you get on this roll, and I just laugh and laugh and laugh. What do you get out of that? I mean, what is that? Thank you for doing that, but I'm curious. I never thought to ask any of my brothers or what happens to you when you're making me laugh like that?
I get happy. And it is. It's a giving process. And it's it, this is the perfect time for this show because and that question, because it's been a conscious choice to get back to more of that and hopefully only that, you know, as much as possible, you know, in this lifetime, to be able to laugh more, to be able to allow more laughter, because I didn't have a lot of it as a child as well. So it resonated, you know, what some of what you were saying. And you know, looking back on that, being happy with it and being able to move forward.
Yeah. So you're it makes you happy to make other people laugh.
It's absolutely. It makes me happy. And you get the feeling inside, which I think we're going to hear a little bit about today. But there's something that is definitely triggered, and there's a change in your own state that comes from sharing that or giving that or being in that state with someone.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. I look forward to making you happier by you making me laugh and me laughing at all the funny things you do. Anyway, so thank you.
More to come.
Well, great. Well, our guest says that we could all have better health on all levels through laughter. He says it's not only possible, he's helped make it happen. And he's a testament himself. He is the laughter wellness guy. He's the well-being engineer. And amongst many other things, he's the master laughter therapy trainer. As a matter of fact, he started this thing. Well, we'll let him tell us about it because he's the CEO of this thing that it's about a laughing thing. In any event, our guest, Sebastian Gendry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Before we start, I'd like to say to both of you that it is never too late to have a happy childhood. And I'm very grateful to for the invitation to the life-changing show because this is exactly what it's about. I can tell, most likely I will talk to you more about how laughter is a new frontier in wellness, a new wellness modality, but it goes beyond that. You know that to change your life, you have to change yourself. Happiness is not an outside thing, it's an inside thing. So to believe that others make you laugh is asking for remaining depressed and stuck, because it puts the requirement outside. You need an outside stimuli. So what I'm going to share with you today is just a different aspect, the other side, the dark side of the moon of laughter in a way, what we haven't seen, where you actually choose to laugh.
And so I have to make myself laugh.
No, you don't have to make yourself. You have to choose. You have to decide. This is about attitude.
Without anybody making me laugh.
You can choose to smile, even if you are stuck and in pain. You can choose to remain positive with your colleagues. And we know that it's important. We just don't do it.
He just said you have to have attitude.
I have attitude.
And the impact is just amazing. I don't have words. The impact is too big and my mouth is too small. It is beyond amazing. We were talking before we started the show that in my eyes, everybody knows laughter feels good. And that is actually very sad, because we choose to close our eyes to a master switch that can transform our health and transform our emotions and transform our lives and transform our connections with others and with ourselves.
So beyond feeling good, in other words.
Good and bad are viewpoints. What is what is. So good and bad exist. I mean, there's a different aspect to this, but one of them is to look at in the context of time, past experiences and what lays ahead in the future. When you step outside of time, which happens every time you do what you enjoy, singing, playing, whatever it is, then you tie your conscious mind, your thought processes into the world of the physical, which is only here and now. And then you start to create the chemistry that comes with your behavior. And if it's something you enjoy, then you start to feel good. And when you start to feel good, that creates a completely different type of thought, typically, that are connected to your feelings. You think good. And you step outside of time. You can't define who you are and who you are not when you have no past and no future. And now, like a few minutes before, you were stuck in pain, angry, whatever. And now you've been engaging for 10, 15 minutes into positive, uplifting activities. You feel good. You're not too sure why. What does it do of your anger, of your resentment, of your... You forget. You forget. We know that pain is 95% in the mind, 5% of physical stimuli. It's a choice. Now, pain is real, but that's the learned response. If you remove the word pain call it tension and flow with it. It transforms everything.
Call our pain tension.
Tension. If you choose to smile, laugh with the pain, it will completely, it will create distance. And I can go into the neuroscience and why why that's the way it works.
No, let's stick to the high-level laughter stuff.
Sure, sure. So it's all about the out-breath, letting go of what you have of most precious, creating a distance so that you can see more. If you focus on the pain, it's like putting your hand right in front of your eyes. You won't see anything else but your hands. In other words, the pain. If you exhale, flow with it, then your hand would move away and you would see more. The point, therefore, is not to chop the hand off, not to eliminate the pain, but to see more.
Okay, so earlier, before the show, actually, you were making a joke, something about having been shot in the back with an arrow, right? Okay, so that didn't happen. But you do have scars, and it's for a whole other reason. But let's just say that you were stabbed. This is the moment. It just happened just now. You're stabbed in the back with an arrow.
Yes.
And now what? What are you supposed to do? Obviously, there's something going on that would seem like pain. What do you say?
Absolutely. In a bigger context, I will answer your question. But I do have an answer. And the answer is, what can me do now in this very second with a positive attitude? We as humans can only ask ourselves two types of questions. The first one puts us outside of the answer. And the other type of question puts us inside of the answer. And the first question is, why is this happening to me? It's a victim state. I can't change it. I've just been shot by an arrow. Why me? What did I do? I'm a good guy. Shit. Excuse my language. And the other type of question is why I...
That's French, right? You're French.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Did you say that when you were shot in the back with the arrow in the Amazon?
It technically could be mared, but anyway, go on.
And in the other aspect is where you put yourself inside of the answer that you're looking for. It's why is this happening for me?
For you.
For me.
Wow.
Why is it a blessing? Why did I allow this? Why is this happening? What do I have to learn from this? But regardless, the time of crisis is a time of action. And when you are in crisis, it is when you are in crisis that you most need to remain positive. You don't have time. You can't afford to be negative, depressed, sad, angry, upset, put blame on when you need right there and now to take action. If you ever find yourself, hopefully not, buried deep down in the darkest night of your soul, it will always be easier with a smile and with a laugh than without.
So if I would have made the choice to see that all those people were laughing really with me, not at me, it would have changed everything.
Absolutely. But see, ultimately, it's never about them. It's about you and how you... So we were talking before about the difference between emotions briefly and feelings. Emotions are primal. They're in your body. You feel good, you feel bad. It is. My feelings are in the mind. It's the translation of your mind of what you feel, assigning meaning. What happens to you doesn't really matter because it is just a series of nerve impulses. It can be highly unpleasant. Don't take me wrong. But ultimately, a nerve impulse means nothing. What is important, therefore, is not what happens to you, but the meaning you assign to it and therefore how you respond. Because we are all constantly in a process of inventing stories to justify what happens to us. Oh, yeah, I've just been shot with an arrow. This means that. But it means nothing. It just means there's an arrow in my back and now I need to do something with it.
Right, but there could be like...
A thousand possibilities. That's
right.
Maybe someone was trying to save me because, I mean, you can come up with as strange theories as possible, which one serves you best.
Right. Because it could be like one of another thousand coming, right?
It could be or not. Maybe, I mean, I could call me naive and let's just say that I am delusional and I'm thinking that this arrow is actually intending to save my life because I was supposed to die a horrible death and I had to burn that bad karma, bad things. And therefore, it's a good thing. Now, at the end of the day, right or wrong, which serves me best? Because I still have an arrow in my back.
Right.
One makes me happy, the other makes me depressed. And now what's the difference?
And if you're happy, you heal faster.
Man, if you're happy, you relax. When you relax, you breathe deeper. That means you create negative pressure into your main thoracic duct. You boost the flow of lymph, which massively strengthens your immune function. It releases a whole bunch of soldiers of the immune system, the T cells, the immunoglobulins. When you feel good, then your heart rate slows down because the blood flows better. Well, blood is charged with oxygen, you breathe deeper, and blood flows better through your cell. That means more new cells washed away faster, more dead cells. So more new cells created, more dead cells. You relax, and now that goes into your brain, which absorbs it. It's this beautiful domino impact.
Wow. Okay.
That
so
that starts that transformation. Laughter can be used as a master switch.
A master switch. So we're wanting to know when we come back how we turn on that master switch. And I know, I know you have.
If you come back,
they'll come back. They're the laughter consultants you're going to want to know about, the laughterwellness.org that we'll tell everybody about. All of this on our show. And then, of course, Mike Marino, a comedian, a stand up comedian, and who's hot on the campaign trail as running for president of the United States, as a matter of fact. All this and more when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio. I'm sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Sebastian Gendry. We have been talking about laughter. You know, actually, this is kind of funny. I have to tell on myself. When I first met Sebastian, I said to him, I know you. And I think he was very kind and said, I know you too, or something to that effect. And we got to talking and, of course, found him very interesting. And it wasn't until afterwards that I was reading his bio. And, of course, I know him. I saw him on TV. He was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. He was on 60 Minutes. He was on ABC Good Morning America. He was on all these things. And I know about laughter yoga. I've seen his stuff. That's too funny. So how do you know me? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. This weekend, you're doing a workshop of what we're talking about. And this is here in Pasadena, California. People can learn about that at laughterwellness.org, laughterwellness.org, just like it sounds. And then you have programs at thelaughterconsultants.com that people can go and learn more about this. Okay, so... All right. So somebody is depressed or angry or okay. So and you're saying laughter or a smile would be good. Obviously, a smile. We know how to do that, but it's very hard at that moment. What do you recommend?
Okay, it is never what you do that's important. You can do a million things. It's why. What's behind? Because we're not machines. We're not mechanics. We have emotions. So there is nothing new under the sun. If you are depressed facing adversity, the very first thing you need to do is decide that you want to feel differently. Someone recently told me that they'd read that 95% of the people who are faced with a difficult situation choose death over life because they choose not to change. because changing is difficult. The Japanese will tell you that when you have traveled 95% of the way, you're just about halfway there. Because we are creatures of habits. And here comes the second point. Creatures of habit. Change your habits. A, one, decide you want to change, and B, work on it every day. Being happy is like taking a shower. Doing something once will not last forever. You have to work on it on a consistent basis.
Because eventually you step out of the shower.
Well, eventually you revert back to your habits, which may or may not serve you. And if you are stuck, then most likely what you've been doing before that doesn't serve you. So there's a tremendous amount of techniques you can
Take a lot of showers.
Take a lot of showers. See, but we live in a world where what's missing is not the knowledge. We have it. I have no doubt if I was to ask you, Mark Filippo, and anybody in the audience, how to be happier. We all know what's missing is the doing. And the value, therefore, is the that shot of inspiration, of seeing, of experiencing, wow, I can feel good. So being high, you know, so you can smile, you can connect, you can give. You cannot lose what you're giving away. You were saying at the beginning that you feel that Mark, that you feel good when you make him laugh. It's not about you, Filippo, but when you give something, you have it to give in the first place.
Mm.
So life changes happiness. Happiness is not a taking because that makes you bigger. It's a giving because it doesn't matter what you give. What it is you give, you have it to give.
Mm.
So you want that poor in the first place. If you've got no money, invite someone for dinner.
If you've got no money, invite somebody for dinner.
Invite someone and then give them whatever you have, even if it's just water, because then you have something to give.
Mm.
It's your smile, your attitude. So it all boils down to your decision. The next step is to enjoy. How can you enjoy your life? You're depressed, you've got cancer, you've got something difficult. How can you enjoy it? Now, that may be here hard to hear for some of your listeners who are facing adversity. But the question stands, how can you enjoy cancer? Because you have it. If you have pain, you can be delusional and claim chant loud, you know, you are at peace with the universe, but you have something. So how do you deal with it?
So I used to work as a volunteer in a hospital, and you're reminding me that there were some patients who I enjoyed visiting and going to see them because they had not a sense of humor, but a lightness, or they wanted to make me feel good. How do I put that? In their situation, they wanted to make me feel good. And others who, no matter what I said, we're cranky and I just wanted to leave.
Energies radiate. It is said in the East that one alcoholic impacts 50 people around him or her just by being alcoholic. How we feel is not just about us. It's about all those around us. We are balls of energy radiating constantly. So it's a big mishmash. It's a big moving mess. But ultimately, if you want to change the world, change yourself. It is, in my viewpoint, laughter can lead you to peace, inner peace. But world peace is an invitation for war, because you can't change the world, but you can change yourself.
Mm.
Because my idea of peace and happiness might not be yours. And how do we reconcile that? It's a power struggle. So this, in the context of the approach I've taken to laughter, is just to flip that around and make it choose to laugh. Don't fake it. Don't force the laughter. Allow it. Don't do it for others. So not to it to help others, but for them to witness who you are and want to be.
So that's it. I'm not talking about world peace anymore. I'm going to start talking about world laughter.
World peace is good, but the intention is good, but forget them out over there. Start with you over here.
Right.
You inside, your family, that's that topic.
Okay, so how do we start with here? Because I've seen, like, when I first was seeing some things on laughter yoga, it looked like some people were like, ha ha, forcing themselves to laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. So laughter yoga is one of the techniques on that spectrum of laughter therapy, of different tech to laughter. I'm into laughter.
That's
wellness.
Just one technique.
It's one of them, of many techniques.
Okay.
It's just the one that's been the most successful because it took the essence of all of the others to their bare minimum. Fake it. It's the first step. But there's more than just faking it. We're not just machine. You can so next step is the mind, the emotions. You choose. It's not about the everything you push away will always push back. So a better approach, or a different approach, I won't say better or worse, it's just different, is to embrace the fact that right now you don't feel like laughing. You've got no reason to laugh, but you can still choose to.
Mm.
And the highest form of laughter is not a laugh, it's a smile. It's the Buddha smile, citta, in the world, not of the world. Detached from the outcome of your emotions. The important thing here, back to that depressed person or the person in pain, focus on your actions, not the outcome, not the results. Do not invest, remove the narrative. If you feel pain, feel the pain, but take the why you are in pain out of the equation, because it won't last. The one constant in the world is change. Smile because you can. Laugh because you can. Shake hands, say I'm sorry, say I love you. Whatever you believe will make you feel better because you can.
I have to tell you, I called you and I heard your outbound message. I had to leave a message when I called the office, actually. And before I could leave a message, it was just a bunch of people laughing. And at first I thought, oh, great. How long is this going to go? Okay, I get it. All right. Okay, yes, I'm smiling. Yes, I'm laughing. And the whole time I'm like, okay, enough now. Until I started laughing. And then that's when it was time, the beep came on to leave a message. But I was genuinely laughing by the time I let myself go.
It's not difficult. You know, changing your life is simple. It's just not easy. Laughing when you are, the important thing is to change the concept of laughter. You do not need to have a sense of humor to laugh. It's good if you do, but you don't need that. You don't have to have a reason to laugh. Likewise, you don't have to have a reason to be happy. Be it first, and then look for ways to manifest it. So engage. This is, so Mike, and I hope he will win, is running for president. So let's vote for Mike.
Yes.
I am completely behind him because what I do with laughter is a political act.
Mm.
In a sense that it is a declaration of independence from fear, anxiety, hatred, separation. Laughter connects. We are wired to respond to laughter and smiles. That's how we... Sometimes people tell me, Sebastian, I can't laugh. You know, do you know who I am? And they start to mention all of the challenges they faced. But the thing is, the past is past and ashes are ashes and you can't build with the past.
You've had people like that at your workshops and executives and all that stuff. So they come to your workshops. And then what happens? Actually, you had somebody from the Oprah show.
Yes.
Who was a non-believer in all this.
Yes. Reggie. Reggie Wells was, in the context of the Oprah show, Reggie Wells was Oprah, that was in 2007, was Oprah makeup artist. Negative, her resident cynic. And so she sent him to, had me lead a session for him to see how it would change his mood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and consider this, but we all know this. When you feel good, usually you think good. And when you think good, usually you do good, which is why I have the laughter consultants as a business. We work with businesses to just do that, create teamwork, bonding, change attitude, boost creativity. So Reggie called her, it was on a Saturday, the Easter weekend, 2007. He called Oprah the next day to tell her how good he felt because he'd recently gone through a breakup and he was in pain before. You can flip that. You know, sometimes, like in every other modality, people will tell you they can't change or we are programmed to believe that change is painful, long, difficult. And just picture this. How deep is your switch to change? Literally. Is it like 1 inch, 2 inches? Because it can't be 10 miles. Your body isn't that big. So where is that switch inside of your body? Of course, it's kind of a joke. It's never that deep unless you want it to be.
Unless we insist on it's deep.
And this laughter is about letting go of that. So the breath is highly symbolic. Inhaling is symbolic of accepting what life has to give you. And exhaling is symbolic of accepting to let go, trusting that the next breath will always come back, that you won't die. But then, of course, it begs the question, what do I really want if the universe truly loves me? And the universe cannot want what for yourself what you don't want for yourself. And therefore, if there's no action, if you say, I want this, but you don't act for it, what you are really saying is that what you want is the wanting, which is nothing. So where does laughter fit in this? It's about changing the attitude, experiencing. It's a series of very simple steps that you can feel good within minutes because you can. That's it. You don't have to deserve, be worthy. Just by engaging through the actions, the movements of connection of joy, you will create that chemistry. It takes about 10 minutes.
You know, when we come back, there are some people that seem happily, naturally happy. And so I'm wondering, most of them don't know all this. So if it's something that they're born that way, and most of us hate those people. But That's supposed to be funny. Okay, I got to smile. Anyway, so when we come back, I want to ask you about those people.
Yes.
And maybe we want to become like those people. And a little later on, we're going to have our friend and stand-up comedian, Mike Marino, who's here on his campaign trail for president of the United States. All when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back, and I'm laughing. See, I don't have to have a reason to laugh, except that I'm actually very happy to be here. I have a reason, and this is great. I have friends here, and of course, I'm sitting here with Mark Legere. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest is Sebastian Gendry. And Sebastian, you actually come from France, so the French aren't known to be extremely happy people. How did you get into this line of thinking and work?
Beware. Here's the quote. If thy neighbor's grass is greener, beware, because his water bill is higher too. The French are known to, it's the population on earth that consumes the most, that needs the most sleeping pills. And you wonder why. Why do they need to have sleeping pills if they are that happy? When I'm in France, they tell me, oh, you live in America, California, you must be so happy. And in California, they tell me, oh, you live in France, you must be so happy over there. It will always be greener next door. You were mentioning before, some people are naturally happy. I don't think so. It's a learned behavior. So typically those who are happy choose to be this, usually very often, have been through adversity and come out alive on the other side.
Mm.
Got to realize that it was far more pleasurable to focus on the positive than to focus on the negative. We live in a world of duality that knows no absolute. Nothing is ever black, good or bad. And so therefore, there will always be some good and some not so good in your life. Which one do you want to focus on? Which is most, because they're both there. And that's your choice. And that's therefore back to my question that you asked me, the question you asked me at the beginning of this show. Now, Sebastian, you have an arrow in your back. What do you do? And here's my answer, which is also a question, which is the answer. What can I do now in this very second to address what needs to be addressed with a positive attitude? Emphasis on the positive attitude. What can I do? So I don't have, they're happy over there, I'm not happy here. Why not? How can I enjoy my life? Because really, we could all be dead within a few seconds. Or make it, let's within 5 minutes, just hold our breath and that's how fast we'll die. It's easy. It's simple, it's just not easy. So what do you really, really want? And that begs the, so then you start to think more than, so yes, we can laugh, it's entertaining, it's funny, but this is about fun. In other words, an experience, not a judgment. It's not about being silly, it's about being playful. Not childish, childish, childlike. Go for the experience. It's a different take on mindfulness, being here now. Sometimes when you're sick, the shamans or that in the tradition would ask you, when did you, or when you're depressed, when did you last stop to laugh, sing, dance, play, and why? Do it again. Do it again. How can you enjoy your life?
Didn't it seem that as children we just didn't have to have a reason?
The reason was not reason.
One more time.
The reason for children to laugh is not reason. They just do it naturally.
Naturally.
Because that's how they learn. So different text. Kids don't laugh more than adults because they're kids. It's because they play more.
Mm.
And there's a whole bunch of studies based on that topic. They just play more. Laughter is 80% a built-in program response to connect and wire, to help us lose the fear of others, because we are social animals. We are wired to thrive in society, not to live alone. And therefore, in the Middle Ages, the harshest the punition was excommunication, isolation from the group. Mm. You're not one of us anymore. And then you can't laugh with others. You need some that feedback. Or it's much harder to be happy on your own. You need someone to witness your happiness. Oh, witness your happiness. You want to be happy? Make someone else happy. You want to laugh more? Make someone else laugh. Because then they will, that's going to feedback you. If you manage that, then it will mean you have it to give in the first place. And they will give it that feedback. When I look at you in the eye, you look at me in the eye. I validate your existence and you validate mine. And that's the divine mystery. We don't need others to thrive, but we will never thrive without others.
Well, you know, and I used an example earlier where I was saying, you know, how we kind of say don't laugh. I'm not laughing at you, you know, laughing with you. That's kind of the way that people joke. But yet that is the way so much of it. I'm thinking of a lot of the you know, some of the bigger company programming that's out there for kids, because I have an 8-year-old. And so many of these shows are self-deprecating humor or attacking humor, or laughter has been used as a weapon. And so I think we've almost deprogrammed laughter in a way where it's not a safe thing, or we go out of that natural state of laughter, and then laughter is either people are used to being laughed at, or they feel that, you know, it's not as natural. You know what I'm saying?
I want to be cynical. I'm going to be cynical here, but just briefly. The best way to keep customers for life is to mess them up for life.
The best way to keep customers for life is to mess them up for life, so they keep needing you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mike accepted. Very often, people who are born funny don't laugh much. They're too busy making others laugh. What he hears is, so, and this, there is a huge power and place for humor. It's powerful. It's valuable. I'm on the other side of that, where you don't need the humor. You just laugh because you can. You just share yourself. It's not laughing at, it's not even laughing for, it's laughing with, meaning sharing yourself with others for them to witness who you are and want to be, because then that feeds back and it elevates everybody. Laughter breaks the cycle of negativity. It's really hard to keep on a negative loop when you feel really good. You can't really want to kill yourself when you feel when you feel high. It just doesn't jive. It doesn't work. Feelings, emotions, thoughts do not exist in thin air. You don't walk into a cloud of happiness, love, anger. That comes from chemistry. This is we live in a world of matter, and therefore everything we feel, think has to have a physical counterpart. It's the magic of life. And chemistry is always very specific, linked to movement. So if you lock down, you know, cross your arms, cross your legs, and make a mean face, breathe shallow, and repeat, "I am so, so happy," it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But likewise, if you open up, take a deep breath, and say, "I am so depressed," it's not going to work either. Your emotions impact your emotions. Focus on the actions of what happiness means to you. And keep focusing on that. Remove the narrative, just focus on the action. And that will, so many different tradition modalities suggest that. You're in a new car, go test drive it. Feel it. Don't have the money, who cares? Test drive it. And then focus on the feeling and do what you can to maintain what are the actions you can take to feel good.
There's so much going through my mind right now. I actually can recall many, many, many times when somebody was trying to get me out of my anger. And I insisted on, no, I'm going to be angry, even though I might crack a smile or whatever, but I'd go back because I'm supposed to be angry right now. That's the response or the program.
See, this path I've chosen over the past decade hasn't changed my life, really. It's much better. It's changed me, meaning I don't laugh every day. I can't claim I laugh every day. But what is different is because some days it is so much easier to be angry, upset, annoyed, depressed, because it's nothing to do. I'm the good guy. It's him, her, they. The difference now is when I am angry, upset, sad, and sometimes I want to be, and therefore I feel good feeling bad, I know that it's my choice.
I feel good feeling bad.
Yeah, because I know it's my choice. I know it's never, therefore, when I have those emotions, it's never ever because of it, him, her, or they. I choose to be because I don't have to take action. Mm. So much easier. Anger is the opposite, is the flip of fear, which comes out of unshed tears. You cannot open your box of emotions selectively. The more you repress the sadness, the more you repress the joy. And so therefore, the more you allow the joy, the more you are going to cry. Remove the narrative. Allow your emotions to flow as and when they want to flow in a constructive fashion, and see what's on the other side. So you may want to cry sometimes. And laugh first to cry. Maybe, maybe not. What do you really want?
You have a workshop this weekend in Pasadena here.
I do.
And people can learn about it at laughterwellness.org. Really quickly, in 30 seconds, what are the things that they're going to learn? Like, are they going to learn techniques? Or are they going to
a tremendous and a great amount of techniques. We are going to go through the foundation of how this works in practice through everyday life. Where do you start? What is step one, step two, step three, and so on. So it's a very empowering, it's a very easy way to empower yourself to go on that high and then have a specific step-by-step action plan to implement into your own life and then working with others as well.
Laughterwellness.org. And thelaughterconsultants.com. Sebastian Gendry, thank you so much. I think this is something for the future, something that's going to grow, and an industry that's going to grow. Consultants, there are going to be more consultants in this.
Yes.
I believe we've lost how to be happy, how to laugh, and how to be able to enjoy our lives. So I appreciate you being here to help remind us.
Sebastian here, we have found.
Yes.
Our laughter again.
So. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I found a new way of looking at all of this. When we come back, we're just going to enjoy our friend and fellow stand-up comedian. Now we're stand-up comedians.
We are that as well.
We'll
be sitting for this episode.
I am not a stand-up comedian. That is hard work. I don't know how they do that, but I'm glad that they do. Our friend Mike Marino, who's hot on the campaign trail for President of the United States, will be here with us in just a moment here on the Life Changes Show, but after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio. The laughter has not stopped, and it will not. It will not. We have our friend and stand-up comedian, Bob Hope, USO award winner, amongst other awards and all of that. He is hot on the trail of, we're going to learn more about this, the campaign trail as running for president of the United States. He is known as the bad boy of comedy, or the bad boy of New Jersey, or something bad. But he's got the biggest heart in the industry, as far as I'm concerned. Welcome, our friend Mike Marino.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know how I got the nickname New Jersey's bad boy.
That's
Thank you for correcting that. Might have to make a comeback. But that's something they gave me.
Well, yes. Well, it's great. I like it. Well, some of the comedy lends itself to it.
Well, you know, it had something to do with when I moved to California from New Jersey. everybody kept saying, you know, the way you sound, the way you act, you got a bit of an edge. We're going to call you a bad boy. And I was like, I don't care what you call me. Just give me my check.
You know, actually, I have to say that the first time I met you, actually, I was kind of scared of you. I mean, you're...
See?
You're, see?
All I got to do is sit still and have that look.
And you had a bat. And
how did you not have a bat?
How do you not? Who doesn't have a
how
bat?
Do you not have a, people don't have baseball bats anymore. But I remember when I was 16 years old and I first got my driver's license and I bought my own car. Nobody bought anything for me. I spent $600 on a car. And my father said, okay, good luck. Oh, here, by the way, here's a baseball bat. Keep that in the front seat in case there's any trouble.
Wow.
You know, and then that, mm-hmm. it was for protection.
And it wasn't
unless you got pulled over by a cop. Then you said, you know, I'm on my way to a softball game.
Wow. You know, okay, anyway, but I'm not scared of you anymore, actually.
No.
You know, you give so much. I'll stop on the soft stuff, but you do. You give. You do a lot of charity events. You did the celebrity golf thing. I mean, it's like you're raising money for all kinds of people, kids and all kinds of stuff. And where does that come from?
I don't know. You don't even get any cash out of the whole thing. No. I enjoy doing fundraisers. You know, if we could help and we can give back and we can make people happy and laugh for a little bit, why not? You know, I'm doing really good. I mean, it was great to come into the room today and see Sebastian, who I haven't seen since we did, I guess, a fundraiser for you 11 years ago, which was just unbelievable. Wow. And when I met him outside, I'm saying to myself, I know this man. I know this man. And then it dawned on me when I was listening to the show, oh, my God, that's him. Yeah, Sebastian.
It is. And he remembered you right away. He's like, wow, I can't believe I'm going to be on a show with Mike Marino. So
that's some good energy.
Heart bigger than your body. Where is the heart fitting? Is this too big? Your heart is bigger than your body.
You got to have a good heart. Got to keep that digestive system working correctly.
Got to laugh. Now, were you funny as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I grew up funny. I'm the middle child, and, you know, I come from an Italian family, so we always grew up doing slapstick silly things. But when I was about 2 or 3 years old, I always just wanted to impersonate television personalities. So I would sing television commercial jingles, and I would imitate people, imitate shows. And then when I was like 5 or 6, you know, that's what I was always doing. So right from kindergarten through... high school, I was always involved in comedy, especially in school. It really wasn't until I moved to California when I was around 28, 29, that people were approaching me saying that maybe you should be a stand-up comedian, because I didn't set out to do stand-up.
Oh,
it just happened.
Really? Stand-up found you?
Stand-up comedy, yeah. And I just wanted to be a serious theatrical actor, but I had a flair for cracking jokes or just talking in general. Just talking in general, people would say, wow, you know, you're really funny. So away I went.
Okay, so now, curious question. You didn't set out maybe to become president of the United States?
No.
It just...
No, I didn't want to be president of the United States. I'm busy. Who's got that kind of time?
You are busy. You're one of the hardest working.
This is one of my disclaimers. I become president of the United States. I told him flat out, I'm not doing 4 years.
No?
3 or 4 months, that's all I got.
Because that's all you need. That's all you need to fix everything, huh?
Yeah. Maybe I would go in for 6 months to a year just to redecorate the White House, make a little different, a little more Italian, you know?
A little more Italian.
Bring in some statues.
Oh.
Make the kitchen smell a little nicer, you know, little sauces.
Teach them how to cook.
Could you imagine? I don't want to say, could you imagine? When I become president of the United States, I'm going to have to clear out the entire kitchen and start bringing in some authenticity from the Italian point of view. You know, maybe we'll even move the White House kitchen to the basement. We can have the super sod hanging, the pepperoni hanging.
So wait,
imagine we had jarred tomatoes.
I've never thought about this. There hasn't been an Italian-American president, right?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. All right. So, okay. All right. You have my vote.
This would be great. Well, thanks for giving me your vote. Just go to YouTube and send it in.
Not just because you're Italian-American, but because you have some good ideas. Tell everybody what your good ideas are.
Well, we'll relocate the White House from Washington to New Jersey. This way it's closer to home.
Your home?
Imagine we actually moved it. I guess you can't really pick it up and move it, but just close it down for a certain amount of time so that I could stay in New Jersey
Well, it's only 3 months anyway.
Right. What's the big deal?
What's the big deal?
They can paint it while we're gone. And
well, but what are you going to do for the people?
If we did relocate it, could you imagine we did it like in a style where nobody knew where it went? You relocated it to an undisclosed neighborhood. It's like the presidency and all the cabinet are on witness protection. You don't know where we are, which would be great because then people in foreign countries could never hurt us. They don't know where we are. Where'd we go? I don't know. And that would be my motto all the time, too. What happened? Oh, I don't know. Things went down, yeah, but I wasn't there.
I think that's already the motto.
I don't know. Hey, you know, they said this. Did you see in the news when Trump was talking about when he was given his first Bible? And
Trump.
That he was Trump. He's given his first Bible, and he's always been religious in his religion. And he, I said in one of my my campaigns, I said, yeah, I'll never forget when I was given my first Bible, too. It was handed to me. I was about 16 years old by a judge. And he said, repeat after me. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And I said, yes. And then I came up with my slogan. I don't know nothing. I see nothing. I ain't going to say nothing.
You know, I'm glad we're laughing about this stuff because so much of what's I'm trying to follow, I'm trying not to follow because when I follow, then but there's so much stuff going on that is laughable, but it's not laughable because technically it's like real out there. So being able to laugh with you about, you know, you making it funny. Thank you.
We have to find some comedy within it because it is outrageous and it's ridiculous. You know, when you go through the airport, they say to you, if you see something, say something. But if you say something, you get in a lot of trouble because you said something.
Mm.
So what is it? What is it anymore? So I'm just going to poke fun out of it so that I can keep on touring the country as a comedian and a presidential candidate.
What he says that so presidentially.
I'm getting better at it.
better and better.
Might I've been go up studying. To 4 or 5 months.
I've been watching. I saw a picture of you. We got you got to send me that picture, and we got to post it on our Facebook page of Mike looking very presidential across the desk in a square office. In an undisclosed area.
The new White House. Well, it's an apartment.
So what are some of the fun things that you like to poke at? I saw a video of you at you were just at the Laugh Factory this past weekend.
Yes.
And you're going to be at the Laugh Factory this coming weekend, right? And people can learn about that, your schedule at MikeMarino.net, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, I saw, I don't remember where it was. Was it the Laugh Factory where you made fun of somebody and it like went viral?
That's right. Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Well, the Laugh Factory set up a thing where they had a Hillary Clinton lookalike come and sit in the audience. And the four comedians were supposed to be addressing political issues. And it just so happened that I was addressing political issues from the point of view that I was actually running. So all I really said was, you know, if there was trouble in the White House, like there was when your husband was president, it would have been okay for me because I'm single and I'm not married, so it doesn't matter. It was the other comedians that actually were kind of raw and dirty, but I caught some viral vibe anyway, and people started following me. And so, you know, sometimes bad press is good press.
No such thing as bad press,
right? From the eyes of a comedian.
Well, we're trying to get some right now. So,
let us have it.
No, you were in town. It's so great that we can spend some time together, and this is the only way I get to see you. But hopefully, I'll get to see you this weekend. So, what are the seven things? I know you like to talk about Clinton, and you like to talk about Trump. What do you like to talk about?
Well, you know, quite honestly, the whole thing started 4 years ago when I went on the Byron Allen show and I said, if we had an Italian president from New Jersey running the country, we would never send the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps to find anybody. Just a couple of hitmen would be back in 24 hours. Well, the joke went viral.
Yes.
And then it went viral again. And now it's got 7 million followers.
Yes.
So I took one joke. I'm glad
it keeps
still
going.
Laughing.
It just keeps going. Yes. You
so
have to
I
watch
took
that
the
video.
One joke and turned it into a web series. Which is, you know, me on the campaign trail, you know, trying to get into the White House to take over the country. Now, I think the comedy within is the fact that maybe I do or maybe I don't know what I'm doing. And I can't stop laughing. And all the people that want to be in the videos these days is hysterical. I got celebrities wanting to just be part of it, you know. And
well, you started off with celebrity lookalikes.
Yeah.
And now you're actually getting them.
Yeah, I'm not going to reveal who's in it because we're releasing them one a week, and I want people to just keep on tuning in and watching what's going on. But I think by the time November comes around at the end of the year, you know, there could be maybe 20 million people wondering what we're doing, and I'll keep coming on your show, and those 20 million people will just chime into your show, and they'll be like, wow, he's really not kidding. He really is changing lives, well, you including his own.
You can come anytime. We love having you. The last one I saw was, and I don't know if this is the last one, but you went to the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas.
Right.
In this car.
Yeah.
Well, in this car. I mean, I'm visualizing the car. Explain the car. Well, you got to see the video.
It's a two-door Lincoln from the 70s. And we went to go have a sit-down with Donald Trump.
And who are you with?
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Or is it?
Or is it? I thought it was at first. So
did everybody in the area.
I really thought
when
it was.
We were shooting this thing because people were like, oh, wow, look, De Niro's making a new movie. I'm like, yeah, and I'm in it.
Wait, but the Mr. T,
That's Mr. T, the Tupac.
Okay, well, that's
he's
definitely
making a comeback.
Okay, all right, so I see it because we're friends and I see your stuff, but where can people go to see your videos?
Everything now is Mike Marino Live.
Okay.
Twitter, Mike Marino Live. Instagram, Mike Marino Live. My YouTube channel is actually Mike Marino TV. But whenever you log on to Mike Marino Live, it takes you right to everything.
So all
and
these
my
videos,
website's MikeMarino.net, which it all leads back to everything.
So they have to subscribe to get these weekly updates or something?
You don't have to subscribe to watch it. I suggest you subscribe.
I strongly
suggest you subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Remember, he's got a
so
bat.
That we can make extra money to keep on doing what we're doing. I even set up a GoFundMe account.
You did? Oh,
I tell
didn't know
people
that.
All the time, GoFundMe. And if you don't GoFundMe, GoFund yourself. I'm glad everybody's laughing. A lot of people in the station are going, oh, no, here he comes.
Wasn't about a year ago you were at the Laugh Factory. Mark, you were there, and Dorothy and a couple of Chelsea and Dinah Leffert.
Yeah.
We were all sitting in the front row. Man, you had us cracking up, but the whole audience cracking up. And I've seen you for years, and you're just getting better and better and better. What is it? I mean, you're just like soaring now. What is it? What happened?
I think you become the more you do stand up, the more you perform, you become free. So you can create things on the spot.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't stop doing it. Everywhere I go, I want to just start cracking up laughing. I was telling Dorothy outside, I was just on a plane, and the stewardess or whatever, flight attendant, whatever they're called these days, she was so rude
and so
angry.
If you're president, you can call her whatever you want again.
I'm going to change the whole thing when we put things back to the way they used to be. That's going to be, when I'm the president of the United States, things are going back to the way they used to be, 1981. Right, I'm bringing back the fax machine.
What is that, the good old days for you or something?
I think the 80s was my good old days. We're bringing back the one-hit wonders, and we're bringing back the fax machine, and we're getting rid of self-serve. I don't want to do anything. I want them to do it. They work. They're not me. So the stewardess was she was so angry. Flight attendant was so mad. And this poor lady kept asking for, oh, can I have this sandwich? Well, we don't have anymore. Can I have this sandwich? Well, we don't have anymore. I'm like, it's a $10 sandwich and they don't have any. So I just started cracking up laughing. The lady goes, what are you laughing at? And I go, this whole thing is absolutely hysterical. Mm. You are so angry at the job you have with 60,000 feet in the air. You got 3 more hours to go. Are you really this mad? Do you want a commission on this $10 sandwich? I don't know.
Did she eat?
I don't know. It's not like they were giving us raviolis and meatballs. I mean, I paid $10 for that.
60,000 feet up in the air.
Remember when you were on a plane, they used to offer you food?
Yeah.
And you got it. It came with the ticket.
Uh-huh.
Now you're paying for it.
Yeah.
So what do people do? They're walking around the airport buying food, and they bring it on the plane. Yeah. And some of that food don't smell so great. And you can't open a window.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Never thought of that. Some of that food don't smell so great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you say something?
No, I don't say anything. I try to fall asleep.
Oh, man. And you're flying a lot, too. Yeah, I guess.
I'm flying every week. I'm ready to drive. You check in your own bags. You buy your own ticket. Might as well become a pilot. I hate self-serve. When you go to the supermarket and you check out your own items, don't you, do you like that? I don't like checking out my own items.
So wait,
how did I become a cashier?
Is this one of your campaign promises?
Maybe it should be a promise. I promise if I am the president of the United States, I will bring back the 80s. I'll bring back the 80s. And kids today who only know how to be in this year are going to have to learn how to live in the 80s.
Well, if you
get
rid
of your cell phone.
If you wait 64 years, we'll be back in the 80s.
Could you imagine that? 2080. I don't think that's going to happen for me.
Oh, you're doing
so I'm
going
to take care of it right now. I'm going to put things back the way they used to be. It's going to be my new slogan. My new slogan, I'm running, you know, I'm running on the pizza party, right?
On the what?
The pizza party.
What's a pizza party?
You never been to a pizza party?
I mean, I've been to a pizza
kind of
party.
Italian to you.
That's your...
One world, one language. We're all going to start speaking English. Uh-huh. You come into the country, we speak English. Because when we go to foreign countries, what do? We speak English. Now, if we could do it, they could do it.
Wow.
It's a good slogan, isn't it?
That's American.
We're going to legalize marinara. I'm bringing back the marinara sauce. Enough of this gravy with the extra meat. Back to marinara. Plain and simple. Thin.
You're making me hungry.
A lot of people out there right now don't know what I'm talking about, but there's Italians flipping over in their grave going, did he just say marinara?
You know, I have to ask you, let me ask you this on here because I loved your answer if you remember it. I don't know, you probably have. But there were some Italians that think, oh, you know, he shouldn't be talking about Italians like that. And we talked about this one time. This is life changes. Let's talk about it.
Right. I could change a word. And would set everybody straight. My family. My family. You can't complain about me now. I'm talking about my family. My mother's from Italy. My father was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. And if I was to say the way my family is, well, I just excluded all the word Italian. Mm-hmm. So now they can't get mad. But nowadays, most of the majority of my fans, whether they're Italian or any other culture, they just love what I'm doing. You know, family-orientated material is always going to make people happy. And the truth is always going to make people happy. You can't beat it. The truth is funny. You make something up, but it's really not going to be that funny. So I think there was some people that were a little annoyed because I talked about, you know, the Italian people and the way we whack people and people get hurt. So I just changed it around and said, okay, well, my family did it. Not yours. Now you're excluded. But then again, you go to a charity and you raise $500,000 for, let's say, what happened to the earthquake victims in Abruzzo so many years ago. Mm. If they're going to complain, then you just say, okay, give me the money back. Mm. I'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm really making anybody mad. But then again, go out there and get mad so that I can keep on selling out shows around the world.
Yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Give us some publicity.
Sell out shows around the world is right, actually. So good to be able to get a ticket to come see some of your stuff. What are you doing after you leave L.A.?
This weekend, I'm actually going to go to Florida for one show and fly back on Saturday, then go to the Laugh Factory Saturday night. Then I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to stay here. Well, I'm actually going to Monterey on Tuesday.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going up to your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I'm going to Monterey to do the Paisano Club. Do you know it?
Yeah, of course
I
know.
The Paisano Club.
They're all my friends.
Yeah. So they're not mad at anybody. You know, they call me up and they say, listen, we want you to do all that Italian wise guy stuff. Just don't curse so much. And I go, okay,
everybody has something,
you got it,
right?
No problem. They go, oh, and the one guy, he owns a couple of restaurants. He's a real wise guy from New Jersey. He wants to know if you want to go up there on Monday and have dinner at his place. And I go, okay, I'll have dinner at his place. And then we'll do the show on Tuesday night, and I'll drive back down on Wednesday. He goes, great. Hey, listen, I think Clint Eastwood's coming. I go, yeah, because he's real Italian. He did all those spaghetti westerns.
Do you drive one? I, you know, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen your car. Do you drive one of those big Lincolns?
No. I have a Rolls Royce.
You have a Rolls Royce. That's right. I've seen a commercial with you in a Rolls Royce.
I'm going to Monterey to do the Paisano Club.
I think
cool
that's awesome.
That?
Had I known, it's this weekend,
Tuesday of next week. Oh. It's during the week.
You know, I would be there in a heartbeat. Let me think about that. If now you tell
you
me.
You may be there.
Yeah,
I'm going to get up there. I'm going to drive.
I'm going to have to go.
You should rent a Lincoln.
We should rent a Lincoln. We should videotape this.
Imagine that. We all get out dressing like wise guys. Wasn't my idea.
It's your family.
I'll have the De Niro guy come with me.
Okay. So, right. There's the De Niro guy, and there's all these people. You've got all these commercials coming up. So people just need to go to Mike Marino Live on YouTube, Mike Marino Live on Instagram,
right,
and on Twitter, and MikeMarino.net for the dates and all.
You can follow me on Twitter. That's the first time I've actually said that, because I'm Italian. I don't like anybody following me. Hope somebody's laughing at that. That should have killed in this room. I can't help but do funny things about my family. I did this joke the other day. I said, you remember the game Clue? You guys remember the game Clue?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know, we never played it, never took it out of the box. Italians don't play games called Clue. Imagine us playing a game. It'd be like, who did it? I don't know. I didn't see nothing.
Short game.
Game over. Game over.
Game over.
Remember the game Operation?
Yeah.
We made that a hit. Take off the leg. Remove the body. All right, game over. Game over. Come on, that's funny. Is anybody in the other
room? Why don't you make a, you can't hear them. Why don't you make a game? Make a game.
Imagine that.
I think so.
What would my game be called? A board game called Find the Family.
You know, I think
build a family.
That might mean something different to different people. But I think kids are playing some crazy stuff these days. I mean, it can't be worse than that. And that sounds fun.
I think there was an Italian wise guy game. It was called Monopoly.
Oh, wow.
Somebody laughing at that.
Hey.
I think that was a good joke.
What are you trying? Are you trying your jokes out for this weekend?
Why not?
you're funny. You're fun. You're good. You're good people, Mike.
I'm trying to be good people.
Yeah,
we need more good people in this world. So if I become president of the United States, we will only
now
let
we're back
in
to
good
if?
People. When? I'm president of the United States. We will only let in good people. Yeah, we'll ask them at the door. Are you good? All right, come on in.
We're looking forward come to seeing in. That Lincoln Park at the White House.
Are you good?
Are you good?
Well, I'm good. I'm glad to be here. You're good. I'm glad you're here. This has been good. I know you're not
good.
Done. You could do jokes for hours. I mean, you got one more you got to get out, otherwise you'll be mad at me.
You know what? Pick a topic, any topic. I actually recently went home to visit my family because, you know, I go to New Jersey to visit the family all the time, get some good food and rejuvenate myself. And
rejuvenate? You become more junior?
Make myself younger.
That's how we're bringing the 80s back.
Did I tell you when I'm president I'm bringing in my own words?
You're bringing in your
I'm going to rejuvenate myself back to 1986. This is fantastic. I'm going to have a whole new vocabulary. One world, one language, all language. What did he say? I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay, so wait. Yeah, and you
I
get
had
material.
Three 1961 G.I. Joe dolls in the attic of my house in New Jersey, right? So if you remember, G.I. Joe was the
they
soldier.
They all look the same?
No, there's three of them. There's a blonde one, there's a brunette, and the one with the black hair actually had a pull string. He's worth the most money, $1,100.
Wait, if you pull his string, what happens?
He used to talk.
Oh, he
don't talk anymore. Okay. It broke.
Okay.
But they used to say things like G.I. Joe, Action Commander, you know, we're out in war. Okay. But if you remember, G.I. Joe was a soldier in the army, right? But since I came from an Italian family, we made him a mob boss.
You did?
Yeah, we called him G.I. Giovanni.
Okay. We have to stop him.
We got to go? G.I. Giovanni was the head of the five families.
I'm going to get the hate mail, not you.
Yeah, but I can answer it for you if you want.
I'll send it to you. Okay. This was life-changing.
It is life-changing.
It is.
I know people out there listening right now laughing, going, is he serious? And then somebody, if you could take Colin, says, well, he probably knows where to go get a good slice of pizza there in Italy.
Well, wait, so I mean, are people supposed to write your name in? Is that what's going to happen?
To vote for me?
Yeah. How's
you subscribe to my YouTube channel. You subscribe to my YouTube channel, we'll send you the pamphlets.
Okay.
The pamphlets will show you how to vote.
All right.
I actually have a thing on YouTube.
You have a thing?
on, well, yeah, it's a sales thing on YouTube. If you vote, if you log in, if you subscribe, if you write me a letter, I send you free stuff.
You know, actually, I have to tell this. I have to tell this really, really quickly. This is Mike Marino at his finest. I mean, so he does this show. Everybody's cracking up. It's funny. There are people in line, autographs, blah, blah, blah. And then one guy doesn't make it in line in time. Mike leaves because he's always there till the last person's there. But this guy doesn't make it in. And so Mike leaves. And the guy writes him somewhere and says, you know, I came to your show. You were great. And my wife and I didn't get our autograph. And so Mike gives him your cell number.
Right. He wrote to me on Facebook and he said that he really wanted to get an autographed picture and a DVD. So I said to him, I'm sorry about that, but I'm still in the area. Give me a call. Here's my cell phone number. I'll meet you at this restaurant where we were going to have meatball sandwiches. We really were going because this was in Florida and I wanted to get some authentic Italian food in this particular area. So he showed up and the guy was just in shock that I gave him my number.
Yeah.
Because now he texts me and he likes to call me. And so I gave him a DVD. I gave him a T-shirt. I gave him an autographed picture. And then I took a picture with him.
And then you gave him a meatball sandwich.
Well, the guy who owned the restaurant gave him the meatball sandwich.
That's
actually, the
Mike
guy who
Marino.
Owned the meatball place was called Goombas. The place was called Goombas. I'm driving down this road in Florida. I see Jeez. Goombas. I pull over. I figure I got to go in there. I'm going to get a nice slice of pizza. Well, I walked in, and there's only three people in there, and the three people in there work there. So there was no one in there. Mm. It was a lunchtime place. So I walked in, and the guy just looked up, and he went, "You got to be kidding me." I'm like, "Hi, how are you?" And he's like, "What are you doing here?" I go, "Running for president."
That was your caucus?
It was down the block from the comedy club. So I sat there, and without fail, the guy just started comping me food. "Try my meatball sandwich. Try my pizza." So I said to him, "How long have you been open?" He said, 8 weeks. I go, "You want some free advertising?" He goes, "Advertising is never free." And I go, "Yes, it is. This is your lucky day. Get up against the stove." And him, I gave his friend my cell phone, and I said, "Now we're going to take a picture together." And I did a video, and I said, "Here I am on the campaign trail, live at Goombas Italian Eatery in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Come on down." And then I gave everybody free tickets to the show and did some advertising for the guy. So he said the next day that he ended up getting a lot of people wanted to come in.
Nice.
Not to eat. They thought I was in there.
Oh.
And I said, "But did they eat while I... well, they found out that I wasn't here?" And he said, "Yes." And I go, "Well, then that's good advertising."
There you go. That's Mike Marino. So if you want a president like that, vote for Mike Marino for president.
If I'm president, you get YouTube hits.
Mike, I didn't get that.
YouTube hits.
YouTube hits.
If people go to your YouTube channel and they give you a like.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
a
okay.
Like.
Yeah,
I called
yeah.
it a hit.
Well, you're scaring me. All right. So... always fun seeing you. Thank you for being with us today. Mike Marino, stand-up comedian, all-around good guy. What's the New Jersey bad boy thing?
New Jersey's bad boy of comedy.
New Jersey's bad boy of comedy.
Comedy
and,
with an inch.
And presidential hopeful. With that, thank you, Mike. And Sebastian Gentry.
I thought I didn't talk as good.
That was the number two Gentry. You were looking for.
Yes, yes, yes. I like him.
We have
it's
to call
hard
it a
to
show.
Say Gentry. I don't know why.
Thank you so much for being here and getting us to expand our consciousness on laughter and humor. And what a great combination, the two of you. I'd like to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good. I'd like to thank our program manager at BBS Radio, Doug Newsom. And I'd like to thank Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, our producer, Mark Legere. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, as ours did in a very funny way tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.